overemphasis on teaching obedience and cues. I would say that focusing on how puppies feel is more important than what cues they know at such a young age, especially when they're first coming home. So taking the time to try to teach and shape behaviours is important.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your dog training host, Melissa Vieira.
Welcome back to the Pet Care Report. On today's episode, we're talking all about puppies, and I have just the expert joining us today to cover this important topic. Jordan owns the business Puppy Matters Co. in South Australia. Jordan's business focuses primarily on puppies as well as young dogs, offering things such as one-on-one training, six-week classes, as well as adventure walks. So thank you so much for being here today, Jordan. Can you tell us a little bit more about what made you specifically want to focus on puppies?
No problem. Thanks for having me along. I suppose the thing that made me want to focus primarily on puppies is that's the stage in their life where you can have the biggest impact that's going to carry over into the rest of their life. So yeah, it's an important time in the life of a dog, and it's a time where people are often the most stressed out about what to do. So I think it's a good time in a dog's life to help them out and steer people in the right direction.
And you discovered that firsthand when you got a puppy a few years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. So we got our first puppy 4 years ago now, and we went through that same experience that I think a lot of people go through when they get a puppy of, oh my goodness, what do we do with this thing? And just going through that process of trying to find not only how to do it and what to do, but where to actually learn from to be able to teach our puppy the best that we can was quite difficult. You know, that's a process in itself, just finding what to learn. So yeah, that was a major factor in starting the business and, yeah, getting into the professional side of puppy training.
And the neat thing about your business, I was looking at your website and it's so personalized. And I think there's one part that specifically says, like, just guiding that puppy owner through the very specific areas where sometimes people will go to a puppy class and they leave feeling just as confused as when they started. So it seems like your business really has that personal approach for being able to help people and guide them through all of those challenges that come with a new puppy so that they can actually spend more time enjoying their puppy and not being so stressed about all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the personal approach is important. I mean, my main goal is to help people. As much as I like helping dogs and puppies, it really is a people business, and that's the thing that I like most out of it. So yeah, I really enjoy that personal aspect, and you really get involved in people's lives when you're helping them with a new puppy. It's quite a personal relationship that you have with people, going into their homes and helping them out with.
And also you're setting them up for life. I mean, for the next 12, 15 years even, being able to prevent mistakes and problems that could arise during puppyhood, that if those aren't addressed in puppyhood, really tend to stay with the dog for a long time. So you're preventing that stress down the line too. It's not just in puppyhood, which is really neat and important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I suppose the main goal is to help people to get it right from the beginning so they don't run into trouble later and then have to engage in, you know, remedial behavior programs and things like that that can be quite difficult for people to take on.
So I'm sure in your business you have seen many mistakes that are very common and that you see often, and those are the things that we want to try to help people find before they happen. So what would you say are the five most common mistakes people make with their new puppies that you can help them prevent?
Yeah, sure. So some of the five most common mistakes that I'd come across, number one would be an overemphasis on teaching obedience cues to puppies when people first get them. When you think about puppy training, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, teach them to sit, teach them to lay down, teach them to, you know, roll over and shake hands and all of those neat sort of things. While those teaching them those things is valuable. The most important thing to really focus on when people first get a puppy, especially at that really young age, is trying to teach them behaviors and trying to, you know, make them feel safe and help them to understand and fit into the human world. Number two would be not enough time spent, you know, sniffing and decompressing in nature spaces for puppies, and this is really for all ages of dogs. Number three would be probably low-value treats. So using low-value treats in a high-distraction environment is a recipe for puppies not listening and not really understanding. Number four would be assuming that socialization means just going out and meeting every single dog and every single person that you come across and not having any control or structure to that interaction.
Right.
And number five, I think this is the big one, is forgetting to notice good behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
And reward it. Yeah.
So starting with number one, focusing on behavior rather than formal obedience cues, would you say like focusing on behavior that fits that lifestyle? So should the family really be thinking about like what they want in a dog and what they want the rules of the household to look like even before they get the puppy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think a focus on how the puppy feels is more important in those really formative weeks of their life over what cues they know.
And that really can relate to number five as well, because you mentioned like not overloading the puppy. The socialization aspect doesn't mean just bringing that puppy around everyone and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, just taking time to try and shape their behavior by rewarding what you do want to see. So they can begin to learn how to behave in different situations and environment.
All right. So puppy owners have these things that they're going to try not to do. But what can you tell us about the preventative measures for each of those five common mistakes?
Yeah. So for number one, the overemphasis on teaching obedience and cues, I would say that focusing on how puppies feel is more important than what cues they know at such a young age, especially when they're first coming home. So taking the time to try to teach and shape behaviors is important. And just remember that teaching cues can happen anytime. And in all honesty, as far as dog training goes, the cues part is the easy part. Is teaching behaviors that is harder and takes a bit more time. So, yeah, just focusing on the things you would like your puppy to ultimately do in the places that you ultimately want to take them and making sure you're rewarding the good behaviors you see there. For number two, so that would just be once your puppy is appropriately vaccinated, of course, taking them out to nature-rich environments and just having a good time together. That's one of the best things I think you can do with a dog. You can use a long lead if need be, but giving them that freedom and the time to sniff and explore and just engage in their natural behaviors is really beneficial for their overall mental well-being. And I find that the more dogs do that, it really bleeds over into positive behavior in other areas of their life because they're getting that outlet that they need.
Yeah, I can agree with that more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like the big secret is go out and have fun.
Right.
Yeah. Number three, so that was using low-value treats in high-distraction environments. The best prevention for that is just find out what your dog likes and find out the treats that they're really into. Mostly puppies are going to do better with softer treats because they have such little teeth. Anything that's meaty and has a bit of moisture is usually going to be higher value for them than something like a dog biscuit or a liver treat. And just keep in mind that wherever you go with a puppy, you're competing with the environment. So the value of the rewards you have on you needs to be appropriate for that environment. My top two treats would probably be number one, roast chicken, and number two, we use those Prime 100 rolls as treats. They seem to be quite good. Most dogs seem to like them.
Those are remaining high value because I believe you had said, like, going out, you're using those high value treats where at home it's less distracting. Maybe they're not required as much unless it's something new or difficult you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I often tell people that, you know, unless you have the hungriest Labrador on earth, most dogs will, they'll do anything for, you know, a dog biscuit at home in the kitchen. But as soon as you go to the beach and there's a lot of action going on, it's just not going to cut it. So, yeah, varying the value of treats depending on where you are.
And then the next one, number four.
Yeah, so number four was socialization and the approach to that. I think the best preventative measure is to just try to control interactions that your puppy has as best you can so that they're positive and that they're practicing behaviors that you ultimately want them to do as an adult dog. So being aware of things like trying to tell people not to, you know, pat your puppy and excite them when their puppy is jumping and being crazy, for example. You can use things like food lures and treats on the ground to keep puppies from, you know, jumping on a person when they're greeting them. And also in regard to greeting other dogs, I think it's good for puppies to have lots of really short greetings where there's, you know, as little action as possible. So 2 to 3 second greetings with dogs, reward them if they've done a good job and then move on. I find that most of that overexcitement for puppies happens when they're standing with the dog and they greet them and then they stay there and it's like, what next? Well, they usually want to burst into play. So moving them on is a good idea.
You said also ensuring that the pet owners are looking at, well, what do I want my dog to act like as an adult? Because sometimes puppy behaviors are a little less noticeable or less annoying because the puppy is small, but then all of a sudden the dog is a big dog and jumping and pawing at them, and that's not so cute anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. The adult Great Dane jumping on Nana is not so fun and cute.
Right.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's a good point. I suppose viewing all of their behaviors through the lens of, would I like my dog to be doing this when they're a full-grown adult? You know, and what would that look like?
Yeah, and then number five is the big one because there are so many misconceptions about socialization, what that actually looks like, and you can go into more detail about what you recommend for the social time for puppies, what activities and what that looks like.
Yeah, sure. So, number five is forgetting to notice their good behavior. And that is something that happens out in social settings, of course. But I suppose the big secret is try to catch your puppy being good and acknowledge it and reward it and let them know that you appreciate those good behaviors. Something that can happen with dogs that I've seen is they get stuck in a negative attention-seeking cycle. You know, because it's easy to ignore a puppy when they're finally doing the right thing. You know, they're finally quiet at a cafe. They're finally sitting still at the park or something. And you can create a cycle of negative attention seeking because puppies are really smart and they can figure out that the only time anyone pays attention to them is when they're being crazy and doing evil stuff.
And, right.
They get chased around the house.
Yeah, and puppies, I mean, naturally, they do rest a lot and they do sleep a lot, but it's just, I think they make themselves more noticeable and the owners find them. they only complain about the behaviors that the puppies are doing when they're awake because those are the behaviors that are working and paying off.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, as far as the socialization approach that I like goes, I think it's all about first figuring out what you ultimately want to do with your adult dog. Where do you want them to go? How do you want them to act in those places? And once your puppy can go out into the outside world, I don't think that you can do too much exposure. It's just exposure. Going to all of these places until the novelty of those places wears off for the puppy, and rewarding that good behavior, trying to shape their behavior and interactions as best you can in those environments, and making the behaviors that you want to see the most rewarding thing that they can do in any given particular environment that you take them to.
Yeah, and all of the other points really tie into that because it's not just at home. You're talking about the types of treats and the types of behaviors. So that might apply to the training and the calmness that you're trying to reinforce at home, but also during that exposure and taking them out places, those all make a lot of sense for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, exposure is one of my big points that I'm constantly telling my puppy class attendees about.
Well, you can't, there's no time machine. So if you miss that, it's hard to go back and try to get those experiences. So when they're young and you have that opportunity, it's an amazing thing to be able to have that opportunity to expose them to the world and to different types of people and dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, once they've been to an environment enough that the novelty starts to wear off, that's where their, you know, the really remarkable behavior changes start to happen and they really settle into those environments.
Now, of course, sometimes mistakes do happen because that's just life. People get busy, or maybe they don't hear about these mistakes until they've already made a few of them. So what recommendations can you give for families with puppies that might realize that they've been making some of these mistakes? How can they go back and make those changes?
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as I preach the best practice with raising puppies, I do understand not everybody has all day every day to take their puppy out and, you know, train them for the first few months of their life. People do have jobs and kids and other commitments and that sort of thing. So just doing your best is good enough when raising a puppy. So I suppose the first thing I'd say about correcting mistakes is that raising a puppy is not a linear process.
Right.
They'll have setbacks and they'll have good days and bad days. And, you know, you'll have the odd puppy size disaster, but it's okay. You can keep going, moving forward. And so don't feel bad if some things are not perfect. And in fact, don't even expect things to be perfect because they're still learning and they're not going to be. I think the best way to correct mistakes is to either choose a good local trainer or a learning resource and stick to it. Stick to that method. You know, the best training approach on earth is not going to help if it's not consistently delivered. So I think that a mediocre, so to speak, approach that you deliver really consistently is going to serve you better than the best training on earth that doesn't happen all the time, or different family members are doing it different. So choose something that everyone can understand and stick to.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of families will get to that point where things are going really well and then they become frustrated and they do want to drop out of training or change. They think something needs to be changed, but sometimes it's just not necessarily that they need to change any of their training. They just need to be, like you said, more consistent and just work through that, because puppies themselves are changing so rapidly. So that consistency is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, consistency coupled with exposure.
Now, do you have a number one tip that you want to share? I think I have an idea of what that might be, but can you tell our listeners what that number one tip is for puppies?
Yeah, sure. In case I haven't given it away yet, my number one tip would be just try to give your puppy a good life. The more you go out and do fun stuff together, the better they are going to be. So take them out to interesting places, include them as much as you can. I think the best learning happens for them while they're out on fun adventures.
Absolutely. So where can our listeners find you? These links will be along the alongside the episode as well, but can you tell us the best places to find you?
Yeah, sure. So we're on Instagram. We are at Puppy Matters Co. And also our website is www.puppymattersco.com.au. We have some little learning resources and things on there if people want to get them. And I send an almost every Sunday email out to people with some tips and tricks. And we're, of course, on Facebook as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for our listeners for being here with us today. Like Jordan said, get those puppies out. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and like it so that we can reach more pet owners with valuable information. Thank you again, Jordan, for being here.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me.